Well, good morning. This is January the 3rd, 2022, from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, United States of America on God's good, great planet Earth. Welcome to the first webcast of the year here in 2022. I'm PJ, your internet pastor, and I'm going to talk about how to fight fear today. How to fight fear. And, you know, I had a heck of a time thinking about this subject matter, and I don't want to be disturbed as I talk about it because it's very important for me to do. So many of us have brought the fear from the last year into this year, 2022, with us. And I think that all of that should stop because you should not be fearful about absolutely anything. And there's only one weapon that you can use against fear that will protect you against any enemy, any weapon that comes against you. I know what the Bible says. There's no weapon formed against you. This is true. That's what the Bible says. But at the very same time, why does fear overtake most of us? It overtakes us when we can't pay that bill, when the rent is due, when a loved one acts as if they don't love us anymore, when we feel all alone, when we feel pressured. Well, I want to give you the one weapon against fear that has been working in my life. And if I live by February the 8th of this year, I'll be 78 years old. And when I became 23 to 25 years old is when I learned how to use this weapon that I'm going to tell you about. The weapon is integrity. Integrity. If there's no integrity in your life, then there is nothing or anybody or anything anywhere. So we must ask, where does integrity begin? Where does it come from? How does it work? How does it work in all of our lives? Is integrity important in our lives? And then we have to ask this very important question, where does God come in when it comes to integrity? So we're going to first look at, I think, two individuals that were quintessential in not having integrity in their lives. In the Bible, in the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 5, there was a meeting of the leaders of the church, and the Christians came together, and they needed to help some other people around Jerusalem and the other parts in getting along because the Roman government was coming against these people, and it was a terrible situation trying to get on in the lives of individuals. And Ananias and Sapphira were a husband and wife team. They had pledged to give certain money for the needy Christians in and around Jerusalem, and they lied about the money that they had, and they came before the church. You can read it in Acts chapter 5. It's an interesting discourse. Anyhow, both of them dropped dead. It appears that God caused them to have some kind of heart failure, and they died. And I got to say this because I'm starting off the year 2022, and I do not want to lie to you. I do not want to handicap you with some inappropriate stuff. I have been fighting false teachers for years. As a matter of fact, the majority of the ministry that I was involved in was fighting people that told lies on God and told lies on the Bible. Most of those people are gone. Most of them are gone. And I had my heyday back in the early 90s up until 2000, let's say 2010, when I was really surfing the crest wave of success as a Christian minister. And I came across the Word Faith Liars, and most of them are dead. If they're not still living off the raked-in money that insufficient people gave these cowards, these liars, and a lot of them are dead today. And I told you back in the day that they would be dead. Now, why aren't I dead? Why am I not suffering? Because I've always lived a life of integrity. Integrity has been my hallmark. Could Ananias and Sapphira sing the Christian song, "I Surrender All," with meaning and with true purpose? I doubt it. I don't think so. Do you think that this couple had the disposition stating, "I wish I had more to give for the blessed cause of the Savior"? And I'm telling you, there's going to be times for us to give unto the needs of other people in the environment that we're living in today. And those times are going to become more and more strict as people see themselves in need to have things. Have you ever met people like Ananias and Sapphira in your life? These two, have you met them outside of the church or even inside of the church? People without integrity, people that are always trying to grab more, get more, hold it for themselves, but are never willing to share their lives with anyone else. What would you think if there were these that carried out the man and saw the lady drop dead at the feet of the apostles? What if you were there? You have to read Acts chapter 5 in the Bible on your own to get a bird's eye view of it. I'm just taking you through it mentally, quickly, and so that I can show you the weapon that will stop you from even fearing dying. I don't fear death. I don't fear death. I was speaking with my brother, Ross Coleman. He's still alive. And he said, "Man, do you know what they did, brother?" I said, "What?" "They brought a hospital bed," my brother told me, "and put it in my living room because they said, you are too ill to go up those stairs to get in your bed up there." And we both laughed over the phone, and he said, "Man, getting old is, well, you can imagine what we said." But my brother lived a horrific life in his young years. I became united with God and started living my life of integrity at 23. Really, at 25 and 26 years old, I was riding the crest wave of integrity. I don't lie now. I've never lied to get ahead. I've never been greedy. I've never been haughty. I've never been beyond myself in any way. But do you believe that the word integrity has meaning in our society today? Because that's the way you're going to battle fear. You're going to defeat fear in your life by living a life of integrity. Pay your bills on time. If you owe somebody something, pay them what you owe them. Stop cursing people out. Stop hating people. If people do you wrong, do right by them. You live the life of living integrity. That's the way you win the battle over fear. How might we change the situation in light of what we face every day? Think about every problem that comes your way. If you face that problem, not with fear, but with integrity, I'm telling you, God will be on your side and God will bring you through it. This doesn't have anything to do with denomination, doesn't have anything to do with whether you go to church, because I don't go to church that much. I visit spiritual institutions and things like that. I like to worship and pray. I don't pray over a minute. I know a group of guys, they like to pray 30 and 40 minutes, and God bless them. I'm tired after 1 minute. I can talk with God for 10 seconds and get my prayer through. Why? Because I've been living a life of integrity my whole life. So departing from God starts the process, okay? Departing from God starts the process. What do I mean by that? Okay, it is essential to realize that the biblical ideas of integrity has its roots and its completeness in God. So you have to depart from the things that God doesn't want you to be attached to. That's what starts integrity in your life. Departing from and then moving towards God starts the process. You've got to leave one particular area of your life, and you've got to come into another area of your life that promotes success, that's going to guarantee that you're going to be successful. A true person of integrity is a whole person, lacking nothing. That's where the fear is eliminated, because when you're whole and you have everything that you need to carry you on life's journey and to guarantee that you're going to be successful in that journey, you're not going to ever find yourself wanting anything. Let me give you a good example of what I'm talking about. I am fully retired. Listen to me. I am fully 100% retired. I don't do any type of work to bring any kind of finances in my life. I have never used financial schemes or schemes like that to get ahead. I've always worked. When I was a young man, I worked. When I was in my 20s, I had a job. In my 30s, I've never been unemployed. I was working as a civilian in private industry, GM Products, Sherborne Press. And then after that, I became a military guy. I was in the United States Army. I did 2 years. I got out under an honorable discharge. I got out of the Army, got another job working for the city. I promoted up in the city. When I had that city job, that's when I became a pastor. I held on to my city job for a little bit. Then I became a pastor. The church said, "Pastor, we'll take care of you and your family if you teach us the success routes that you've taken." I had a wife for 35 years, never played on her, never hit her, never cursed her out. All right. She never had an affair on me. Oh, no, we didn't play games like that. Lived a life of integrity, and God protected me with her and her with me. A true person of integrity is a whole person lacking nothing. In the Latin, the term integrity emphasizes the quality of entireness, the quality of being entire, not lacking anything. Because when you're an integral person, you don't lack anything. Now, listen, since I'm a pastor, I'm going to use the Bible, and you expect that of me, don't you? I mean, you don't want me to just talk with you about integrity and share with you the fact that God is involved in it and not share anything. So why don't you get your Bibles out with me and turn to the Old Testament, Psalms chapter 15. Go there with me. I'm turning there right now in my Bible. You know what? In this year, 2022, when you come to my website, there's going to be a little bit more Bible. I'm still going to play some music. We're still going to have a good time talking about subject matter that needs to be talked about. But God put on my heart on January 1st and 2nd, and that's why I'm just now doing this webcast on the 3rd, because God was speaking to me, showing me how to do it. Listen to what Psalms chapter 15 says. We're going to read these verses together, and we're going to see what God says about the issue. O Lord, who may abide in thy tent? In other words, the psalmist is saying, God, who can abide where you live? And then he says, who may dwell on your holy hill? He that walks with integrity. See, verse 2 answers the question. And works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. Did you hear me? Listen, you want to win over fear? Speak truth in your heart. I told you I don't lie, right? Let me continue to read. And it says, he does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor. In other words, you don't go around talking about people, slandering people, doing bad to the person that lived next door, nor takes up a reproach against his friends. In those eyes, a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. In other words, you want to win over fear, then honor the people that fear God. A lot of people know that I'm more godly than I am worldly. Well, don't be mad at me. Don't be angry with me. Look at verse 4b. It says, he swears to his own hurt and does not change. He does not put out his money at interest. In other words, if somebody says, can you loan me $20? You don't say, only if you give me 40 back. You don't do that if you're a person of integrity. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you the truth. Young man came by, spent a little time with me, and his mother was in the hospital. He was, she was injured, needed the money. And what did I do? I gave him some money and everything, and he called back and he tried to get some more money. No, you have to be an integral person. You have to get out and get a job, make that money so that you could help your money. But I gave him some money for his mama without interest. Look what it says. Nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. What do you think the psalmist means by that? Never be shaken. Are you a person that lives that way? That's the question. If I were to ask you how the Lord would respond to such a lack in the human experience, what could you tell me? Basically, and better than that, what could you tell the Lord? That's the issue. Now, the scripture lesson sets the stage. Stage one, let's stay in the book. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. That's in the New Testament for those of you that don't know. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. What I love about this study is that you can pause this thing. Just hit that space bar there and pause it and turn to it and then turn it back on. The verse reads like this. All the saints greet you. Let me get that 4 and 22. I got to read that right. Here it is. All. I don't know why I said that. It is essential that we speak with integrity. I'm not in Ephesians. I was in Philippians. See? I was in the wrong scripture. Ephesians 4 and 22. My bad. Here it is. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. You see, if you're a person of integrity, you have to lay aside bad behavior, deceiving people, not telling the truth. We desire our words to back up who we really are and not just to give lip service without life service. If you want the year 2022 to be a year where you do not experience the fear of living life or the fear of having things happen to you, you must live in a way that God will prompt you to make sure that everything is going to be all right. Now, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. Now, whenever you hear me give the scripture, you can pause the computer and turn to it because it may take some of you time to get there. I know where it is. Proverbs 12, 22 reads like this. Do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate. You know what that means? When you see a poor man, why are you making him poor? In other words, why would a person that loves God have to lie, have to rob that person? If I were a landlord and somebody needed to pay the rent and didn't have the rent because he lost the job because of COVID or anything else, it makes no sense to have to lie to do that. You don't have to lie to stay in your apartment. Tell the person the truth. Telling the truth develops the character so much more than pretending and being found out to be a lie. Let me give you a good example. I recall right when I got to the time when I had to retire, and my wife used to love to use her credit cards, and she would use the credit cards and make all this debt and everything. And so when she passed away, I had to pay the credit cards, and one was up so high. And I remember, I think I owed about $5,000 on that card. And I had retired then. This is a couple of years ago. And this is the truth. And I called the bank and I said, listen, you're asking me for this amount. I don't have that amount because I only make this much on Social Security and I make no other money. And I will give you $25 a month. That is all that I can afford to pay you. And she said, but Mr. Coleman, we can't do that. And I said, I'm sorry. I'm not going to give you anything else. You can come and have me put out in the streets and all my furniture, but I'm going to pay you $25 a month. Thank you. 2 months passed, and I didn't even receive a bill from this bank card anymore. What did I do? I told the truth. I don't have the money. I told them my situation. When I told them my situation, God worked it out. Stay in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter, let's see. I want to look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 10. It says, differing weights and differing measures, both of them are abominable to the Lord. You know what God is saying right here? This is interesting.
When
you mess up your banking to make more money, I know people like that. People are so hungry for money, they'll do anything to mess up the weights, and so they're getting more money, and they're lying about it, and they're using it as a means to knock someone else down. But the text allows us to see the heart of God. He does not see that favorably. We ought not use what we have to tear another person down and so that we can get more. Live a life of integrity. Someone would come by my home and they say, oh, this is a beautiful home. Do you know how much homes cost today? No, this home only cost me $18,500 and I'll never be through paying for it. Why? Because I'm living off of the equity in my home. I don't want this home to be mine. Why? Because I'm going to die and leave here. I'm only here for a few days. I'm an integral person, and so I've developed my life to stay in a home that I don't have to make a house payment on every month. That's a person of integrity. Go to Proverbs chapter 11. Look at verse 1. Proverbs chapter 11. Verse 1, I'm there already. It says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. In other words, stop cheating. Stop cheating. If the income tax man say that you owe this, pay that. I paid my taxes every year, right on time, online, in time. Be a person of integrity in 2022. Everybody trying to get ahead. But a real man that loves God, he keeps his word all the time. You can depend upon persons of integrity because they don't lie to you. Go to Galatians. That's in the New Testament. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and verses 23. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Paul tells us what it's all about. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit, in other words, if you have the Spirit of God in you, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Did you hear that? That's what integrity is. Let's read it again. But the fruit of the Spirit, in other words, God's Spirit in your life. I'm a spiritual person. If you're a spiritual person, if you go to a spiritual meeting, this should be one of your hallmark callings here. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Do you love everybody? Joy. Are you always joyful? Peace. Are you at peace with everyone? Are you ready to go to war? Patience. Are you patient when you can't pay that bill? Are you kind when people are not kind toward you? Are you good? Were you good this holiday season and gave more than you received? Were you faithful? If you belong to a church, were you on time? Could the pastor trust in you? Were you gentle in answering people? Did you have self-control or did you blow up in 2021? Against such things, there is no law. I have a cousin of mine. He told me that he was in Facebook jail. And I said, well, what are you saying to people out there? You can't be, come on. Now, each of these characteristics denote not only the true character, but whether or not true integrity is marked out in the life of the person professing these traits. You see, you can profess it, but if you don't possess it, then you're lying. Why is it so easy for us to read these words like this, but it is so difficult for us to keep them? What happens, or what hinders, I should say, are keeping all of these things on a daily basis? Because God expects us to be like this every day of our lives. I'm like that every day of my life. When I get up and I get frustrated, let me talk you through it. I get up and I don't have anything to do like today. I have to pay my bills. I have to make sure they're already telling me that, hey, we didn't get this, and so we shutting down this and shutting down that. I have to check with the bank and see whether I'm all right because they'll shut things down. I have to be a person of integrity and take care of business. My car hasn't been running. I got to make sure that that's getting fixed because I don't like taking Uber or Lyft everywhere I go. I'm a person of integrity. Can we continue to make excuses in our minds, not being able to live the life because we haven't made provisions to live a life of integrity? Would it not be far easier for us to give in and to live a life of faithfulness or to forego that and get in a juxtaposition of repositioning ourselves? Or the question is, do we really think that we can live this life without being a person of integrity? That is the inevitable question that we must ask ourselves. Now, how do we participate in integrity? Well, we as people that, and I believe that black folk in this country coming from a hellacious background of history, from our ancestors coming up through what they came up with, we really ought to live high on the top of the list of this trait of participating in integrity, because as we start living that way, we will discover that God will bring us through all of this. Now, here again, let's go back to the Bible. Look at Proverbs chapter 20, and we're going to look at verse 6. Proverbs chapter, you hear my pages turning? That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. It says, many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? Man, that's what I'm talking about. The idea is that there are not too many persons that you can depend upon these days that can live this kind of life. If you want to live a life without fear, if you want to live a life without worrying about what's going to happen to you, participate in integrity in every area of your life. And I guarantee you that you will be successful. Now, are there benefits for living like this? You see, I know some of you think that I was going to say, oh, wait a minute, John, if you want to help him out in the year 2022, You have to teach them how to stump Satan. No, forget that. You're just wearing your shoes out. That's all you're doing. I remember when I was a pastor of a church, and I remember these word faith ministers that said, I'm going to put Satan under my feet and have people in the church stumping him and everything. And I told people, I said, well, we don't have a balcony in this church, but I don't want you stumping too hard on the floor because you may stump a hole in it. I said, you're not stumping evil or wickedness. That is voodoo. That's all that is. But the benefits of integrity is character. Let's start there. Integrity is its own reward, for it produces character in us. Notwithstanding this divine intervention that comes our way when God breaks in and helps us along, character determines the course of one's life here on earth. You see, integrity helps you develop that character. And if your character has not been developed here on earth, well, even more so, this character will glorify God for eternity by his grace. Let me share this with you. God created every human being on this planet, whether you believe it or not. I believe it. You cannot convince me that God did not create us. And I also believe that every human being on this planet can help feed every other. Ain't no human beings on this planet got no business in the year 2022 dying of starvation or need of anything. But because of the selfishness, the greed, the foul intent in the heart of men, we have people suffering masterfully at the hands of other individuals. And that is unfortunate. Another benefit of integrity is also your conscience. Not only your character, but your conscience. Now, how is this? There are benefits of a clear conscience. You see, my conscience is clear. I've come into to year 2022. I ain't holding nothing against nobody. I'm not holding a grudge. I'm not mad at nobody. I don't have nobody looking to try to kill me, shoot me, or anything. This is a prime benefit, your conscience. Why? Because if you have a clear conscience, you will be able to stand firmly in the storms that swirl around you. Think about it. If your conscience is clear, when the trouble comes, you didn't do anything to make the trouble come. You didn't do anything to validate the trouble that is coming when it's swirling around you. But you can stand, you know, I love that scripture, having done all to stand. What did Paul say? Just stand with your bad self. But you know what? When your conscience is messed up, you can't stand. You can't stand because you know that you did something wrong. If your heart does not condemn you, okay, but it affirms you, you can be a tower of strength to others. You see, that's why I've been a pastor all of these years. Look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 9. You're there with me. It says, he who walks in integrity walks surely, but he who perverts his ways will be found out. Now, I want you to think with me here, and this is a very, very, very important aspect here. I'm going to read that verse again. He who walks in integrity walks what? What? Securely. His conscience is clear. I can walk because I'm, I remember I did that to Joseph, so I better watch out because Joachim may get me if I turn the corner. No, it ain't going to be nothing like that. I'm walking securely. My conscience is clear. Another thing that is a benefit of integrity, I need to get a throat license. It always happens when I do a webcast. I'm talking and I talk so much that, here it is, I talk so much and my throat, you know, I'm a preacher. It's like preaching. There's a lot of energy goes in PJ's studies. And if you've been coming to my website, A Month of Sundays, like many of you have, you know that I am full of energy. That's why I couldn't put this thing up last night, because I wasn't feeling like this, and I just went to bed. But the benefits of integrity is intimacy. Now, this is important. Much better. Why is that? Because the benefit even goes further, because integrity of soul, and that's what I'm talking about, the integrity of one's soul assures a deep intimacy with God. What? You heard me. If you have integrity in your soul, then your intimacy with God gets better. In other words, when you talk to God about the things that you want in prayer, he hears you because you're a person of integrity. Psalms 51 and verse 6 carries us through it. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. See, God wants truth from the inside of you, the inside of you, the intimacy. And that's where the intimacy between you and God grows. But just going to God, saying a bunch of things, asking him for things, and you living like all boo-boo, come on now. We can't do that to God. It is there that God rejoices in the fellowship with his creation, because his creation is having that intimacy or that fellowship in his heart with God, and a transparent, honest soul is a haven for the Spirit of God. See, God gives each of us a soul. You've heard about that scripture in the Bible, says that God breathed into man and man became a living soul. Well, what connects with that soul is the spirit of the intimate God that brings us more intimacy with God. Do you get it now? And therefore, that's the greatest weapon that you can have against fear, because since you are intimate with God, oh, help me, Lord, I see it. Since you are intimate with God and God manifests himself, when that intimacy takes place between he and his creation, that's why Paul wrote and said, nothing can come against me when I'm standing with God. You get it? You see, it's not your church attendance. It's not doing good deeds, even though you will do good deeds. That will be the thing that you will do, of course. And as we continue with these benefits, another benefit is elevation. Elevation. In other words, there are outward benefits of integrity. For integrity elevates the lives of everyone that believes. You see, if you don't believe, God is not going to elevate. You know what I told Lucy? I told Lucy when I married her. I said, because I was a warehouseman working for the city. And I said, God's going to elevate me. She said, how do you know? How do you know? I said, as long as we follow him. I said, we're going to obey God. We're going to do what he tells us to do. And he's going to elevate us because we are his creation. I tell the brothers that I hang out with, and the sisters too, if they want to hang to me. A lot of the sisters think I'm hard and cold-blooded. No, I'm a dude. I'm a man. If that's what I dislike about a lot of people that give Bible studies. They give Bible studies like they're females. Oh, don't tempt the Lord. No, I'm going to tell you that there's outward benefits towards integrity, for integrity elevates the lives of everyone that believes in God. And you have to know that. That is the way it always works. Okay, let's continue to move. Integrity encourages more integrity. It encourages more integrity. You see, and that's a problem. What we're trying to do is we are trying to get integrity to work without it being integrity. Now, ethical conduct spawns further ethical conduct. See, as honesty leads to more honesty. See, if you're an honest person today, then you're going to be an honest person tomorrow. If your ethical conduct was good last year, 2021, you're going to be that same ethical person that you are today. I was thinking about it when a young man stole from me. He stole from me, and the first thing that I asked myself, I said, now, how are you going to respond to that, John? I said, I'm going to say, hey, man, that's all right. God is going to bless me regardless if he stole. I hope that he appreciated the money. That's the way I look at it. You don't believe me yet, do you? Look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 7. Come on with me now. I'm your Bible teacher. I'm PJ, the internet pastor, right? That's what they call me. That's why you come to my website. All right. Look at Proverbs 10 and 7. It says, the memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will not. You see what I'm talking about? Now, this verse is very particular because what it is, it's saying that when you think about a righteous person, you say, man, you know, that dude sure do make me feel good. I feel good when I'm around him. I have kind of like this new young pastor in my life, Pastor Sammy, and I like his spirit because he's sincere when he talks about God. And that means something to me. That's a benefit of integrity, and that crashes the boundaries of fear. Another thing that integrity benefits is evangelism. Now, how do I say that? Just right all wrongs, and you see that people will regard you. Right? You want to be a good evangelist if you're into that? Right all wrongs. When people are wrong towards you, right them. I didn't tell you to get them to right the wrong against you. You right all wrongs that you have against them and see how people come to you. I remember one time, it was a number of years ago, I had about five young men staying in my garage, sheltering in, didn't have nowhere to live. And, you know, these boys would want to fight each other. They young men in their 20s. Oh, you can't do this. And they came in the kitchen one day, and they was rustling around in the kitchen. And I looked at them, and I got between them. I got in between two of them. It was Mario and Nicholas. Yeah. And they wanted to fight. It's like you could, the hair coming up on the back of their necks. And they wanted to fight. I got in between them. And I said, now hit me. Hit me. And they just looked at me. Just right all wrongs. And you see people will regard you. The fight stopped. I was right by getting in the middle, willing to get hit. That's evangelism. That's the way you do it. Now, there's a discipline of integrity. Don't get me wrong. All right? We must discipline ourselves to tell God's truth on ourselves. And that's a discipline of integrity because you got to tell the truth on you. And you're not right all the time. Like, I'm not right all the time. I can't tell somebody I'd like to buy that product, and then when I get that product, I like that product, and then I'm not going to tell them the truth and say that the product was good. No, I can't do that. I have to live above that kind of nonsense. This must become a habit in our thinking processes, the discipline of integrity. Discipline ourselves to the point where we tell the truth on ourselves to others. Oh, this is a beautiful thing. Listen. When you steal time on the job, when you habitually being dishonest. See, you got to tell on yourself when you are misappropriating those office supplies or those things, when you take a little bit more and you say things like this, oh, well, they got it. They ain't missing nothing. I remember once I was working, I won't tell you the organization. I was working in an organization, and I opened up the cabinet, and I saw all the pads, the stickums, the pens. And oh, no, I tell you, it was when I was in the main humanities office, and I opened up the cabinet and saw all that stuff. And I saw some stuff that I could have taken and used in my office here at home. And I said, you know, I can take some of these. That would have been pilfering. I didn't want to do that. I was making good money as a professor of philosophy. Why would I pilfer from the humanities office? See what I'm talking about? The discipline of integrity. You just don't do the discipline when somebody's watching. Because that day, I used my office key and went in the humanities office myself. And the secretary wasn't even in there. Oh, yes, people, listen. When you indulge yourselves in the business account without a cause. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Oh, but this is petty cashing. And I got to go to lunch today. And yeah, I think I take this. They won't miss this $20. Yes, they will. Yes, they will. There has to be the discipline. And look, don't try to go to God and try to get him to promote you on a new job, to move you up on something, and here you are pilfering and messing up and doing stuff like that. Oh, no, my friend. You want to fight fear? Fear coming your way? What have you done? What have you done that God would turn his back on you when you estimate the mileage far beyond capacity? You know, when they ask you on those insurance documents, how many miles a year do you drive your car? And you live right around the block from the job and you put 20,000 miles a year to get a kickback. That's lying. You're not a person that can be trusted. Look, I want to tell you guys something. Here's the key to this. Why are you fearing what's coming on you? What have you done? How have you lied against God? How have you put God's name on the chopping block? How have you lived such a shipwreck life? And then you're going to come to, oh, God, help me this way. He ain't helping you no way. God would probably say, get out of my way. All of these so-called little things lead to larger episodes of misguided judgment and foils the right kind of integrity that we as human beings are to manifest, and so that God can promote us in this world. I'm going to tell you, you know, when COVID came out 2020, right? Somebody said, John, did you ever have COVID? I don't know. I don't know what I have. I have never had a COVID test. No, I had a cold. I had a cold the other day. But I don't know whether I ever had COVID. Now, why? Why am I healthy and everything today? You know why I am? I'm going to tell you why I am. Because I live a life of integrity. That's how the fear of what can happen to me is no fear at all. I don't have a fear of what can happen to me. Why? Because I live a life of integrity my entire life. I do not fear what's coming on me because I haven't done any, listen to this, I haven't done anything against God or the environment that God has me living in to make me fearful of what may come upon me. Wait a minute, I'm checking something here. Oh, no. Someone sent me a message, and I just said, oh, no. Did you hear that? What I'd like to do is I like to end up the study. I got about 10 minutes, and I want to end up the study because I think it important to do this in this way, and so that you would be able to weigh yourselves as persons of integrity. Are you fearful about anything in your life? Are you fearful about a doctor's report that you might get? Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. And see, I'm up in age. And I told you I was passing a little blood in my urine. And my cousin said to me, "Oh, cuz, you should be careful about that. You don't know what that could mean. You need to go get that check." I said, "I don't care." I was telling my cousin, Roland, and I said, "Roland, I'm not concerned about what that means. Oh, I'll go to the doctor. When these hospitals clear out, I made some appointments. But I'm not fearful about blood in my urine. If it tells me I have cancer, I'm dropping dead and I'm doing it. I've lived a long life." But this is what I told my cousin. I said, "Cuz, we're getting ready to come into a new year. And if God is still pleased with me, and if I am a person that can do his will and continuously help people get better, then I stay alive. When he's done with me, because I can do nothing." Listen, this is what integrity does. "When I can do nothing else to help people like you that are listening to me, then I'm supposed to die. There's nothing to live for." And I think that I know that if every person on this planet has that determination to live for the other person's benefit and to bring about some glorious manifestation that others will be blessed, then you won't have to worry about getting that advancement. What do you want that new apartment for? You want the apartment way up on the 30th floor with the glass? When, you know, they're building new apartment complexes on about the 3600 block on La Cienega Boulevard in Los Angeles, right near where the train is, and on Jefferson, yeah. And these apartment complexes are beautiful. They're the state-of-the-art modernity. You're paying all this money for this stuff, man, and for what? For what? So you can look out the window and look over the city and say, "Look at what I have?" Friends, I'm telling you, when you live a life of integrity, God's going to not only give you a roof over your head, he's going to put food in your mouth and your stomach, and he's going to give you a nice car to drive or some money for the transportation. He's going to allow you to have some clothes on your back and so that you can stay warm. He's going to have friends all around you, families, companion, lovers, sweethearts, all of that. He's going to do it, and your fear will dissipate. It'll disappear. It'll disappear. But you have to live a life of integrity every day of your life. If you're living in fear, there's something that you've done or haven't done. I'm not going to put the blame on me. I'm going to put it on where it belongs, on you. If there's something going on in my life negative and it keeps buffering me, I have to look in my heart and say, "Is it me, Lord, standing in the need to pray?" I found that out as I was working on this webcast. I says, "Lord, how do I bring people into the year 2022 without any BS? You know, 22 is a year for you," and all those kind of rhymes. I'm going to tell you this: you better think about discipline, intimacy, and the essentialness of causing integrity to continue to grow if it's ever been in you, and to stimulate its growth in you as you live from day to day. That, my friend, is the way that you deal with fear in your life. And that's all I can say about it. So I'm just gonna play some music because I think that's what we need to hear. Yeah. You know what that is. Happy New Year. The Shy Life.
For walks, to the movies, maybe to the park. I have a seat on the same old bench to watch the children play. You know, tomorrow is their future. But for me, just another day. They all gather around me. They seem to know my name. We laugh, tell a few jokes. But it still doesn't ease my pain. I know I can't hide from a memory, though day after day I've tried. I keep saying she'll be back, but today again I ride.
Oh, I see her face everywhere I go, on the street and even at the picture show. Have you seen her?
Tell me,
have you seen her?
The Shylights, Have You Seen Her? Oh, I think about my late wife, Lucy, every time I hear that number. Thank you for coming to my website. Happy New Year to you. And please don't ever forget the lesson of integrity. God bless you. See you next time.